Well, good afternoon, everyone. Again, we greet you from our mountaintop studio, where Bob and Ray have been presenting this December 22nd broadcast for 42 years on radio.
This, of course, is our WHDH Christmas Party Day show, our annual feature in which we all renew acquaintances with the management, talk over...
So we haven't seen since last Christmas...
Ray and I had a couple of ideas about the party. We went down the hall to the boss's office this morning.
We had a couple of ideas we thought would make the party a real success.
Well, let's show them how we did it, huh?
Right. Walking down the hall.
Here we are at the office.
Knock on the door, Bob. My knuckles are sore.
Tell them who we are.
It's Bob and Ray, sir.
Get out.
So, they'll run the party the same way they always have. It's in full swing now in the studio next door. And before we're through here, we'll have to
we have hidden the microphones, one behind the potted plant and the other one behind the potted engineer.
And we'll pick up the doings there at the party a little bit later on.
And we should have some real wonderful radio broadcasting for all you fans of this new medium.
And right now, here fresh from the Chalmette Bank, where she cashed her check, is Barry Magoon.
Hello, Bob. Hello. Ray and Ken and Bill and friends everywhere across this great land of ours.
Well, it's a nice opening. You've been to the party, huh?
No, I haven't.
Haven't been in there yet.
No.
What's,
There's a scallop stuck here.
What's happening today with you? I mean, have you done all your shopping? You just...
It's all done now, Bob. But just sit back, wait, and...
Sit back, relax, and listen.
Wait
huh?
for that horse that you and Ray are giving me for Christmas.
No, we're not giving you any horse for Christmas.
Can hardly wait to see him.
Well,
what's he, brown with white spots?
No, he's black. No, he isn't either. He isn't any. We're not giving you one.
Mm-hmm. I don't know as I'll call him Trigger now.
Howdy, Bob and Ray, Ken, Bill, Charlie.
Hello, Ted.
Jimmy Sullivan. And assemble guests in here. I'm
well,
a little hoarse this afternoon. You'll have to excuse me.
Yeah.
Don't mention that word, Tex, will you, please? It reminds Mary of the presents he's not going to get.
What's that, Bob? A horse?
I am, too.
Oh, I know I'm getting a horse. I just
won't
say any more about it, and I wish you wouldn't either.
All right. Won't talk about it.
How about the commercials here today, Bob? How do we stack up?
Well, we stack up pretty well. We have one.
Well, that's keeping our heads out of water, eh?
Yes, it certainly is. It's keeping the food on the table, at least for another day. We have one of our favorite commercials, and I think this is the last time we'll be talking about it, isn't it? Today and tomorrow.
I don't have any idea, Bob.
And it's the last chance you'll have to have us remind you about the Remington Contour Deluxe Shaver. You know, you can be sure that man who says electric shavers don't shave close enough never used a Remington. The Remington Contour shaves as close as you want, faster and easier without nicks or cuts. Once you enjoy the smooth comfort of a Contour shave, you'll never shave any other way. We have several satisfied Remington users here with us today, and I'd like to talk to the first one of them right here, this gentleman over here. Your name is what, sir?
Colin Quarblet.
And you have a... Who am I? Oh! Oh, no, that's the summer thing, isn't it? Carlton Quarblet.
Yes.
Where are you from?
What?
I say, where are you from, Carlton?
Lebanon.
Lebanon, New Hampshire, huh?
That's right, Bob.
How long have you been using your Remington Contour Deluxe shaver?
Well, it was given me the year 1911.
Well, you have one of the older models, huh?
That's right.
Before they started making them.
Before they had electricity in the house.
Yeah, that must have been a kind of a tough shave at that time, wasn't it?
What's that?
It was kind of a close shave at that time.
I bet it was.
Yeah.
Because, you see, the only power I could get to run it was to put a kite up in the sky.
Yes.
Then I could only shave when we had a thunderstorm.
Thunderstorm, sure. Well,
I bought it from Ben Franklin. You remember him?
Yes, I remember.
One of our Americans.
But, of course, you have one of the new Remington Contour shavers.
I have the deluxe contour to fit the many contours of my kisser.
And you do have quite a few there.
That's right, I do, Bob.
You find that it shaves as close as you want? Does a good job?
Yes, it does. I find it does very well.
You use that pre-shave lotion that Remington has in the aftershave?
Yes, that pre-shave.
You'll use the pre-shave before shaving.
The minute you put that pre-shave on, you can hear your whiskers saying it's moisty.
Oh, they snap right to attention, don't they?
Oh, huh? They come right up there.
Well, sir, you can say goodbye to the muss and bother of old-fashioned shaving methods. When you use this, you'll never need to buy another tube of shaving soap or another styptic pencil.
Huh?
Whoa, hold on.
Is that like a ballpoint pen?
No, there's styptic pencil. I can say that. I didn't used to be able to say that word.
No, when you first got your bridge, you
couldn't. That's right. You can throw those away when you start using a Remington contour. Shaves even the toughest beard smooth and clean, leaves even the tenderest face cool and refreshed. It's the world's finest shaving instrument. First in sales, best in performance. The Remington Contour electric shaver. Now, our electric announcer with a word about a free gift offer for you.
Anyone dropping in to the Remington main office at 140 Federal Street, Boston, and mentioning Bob and Ray will receive their choice of a bottle of Remington pre-shave or aftershave lotion free. Also, anyone who purchases a Remington Contour Deluxe and takes it to 140 Federal Street, mentioning Bob and Ray, will be entitled to have the shaver initialed free. Well, so think that one over. Put it in your pipe and smoke it. I wouldn't.
Well, do it today or tomorrow, because once Christmas comes,
Well, I put that aftershave in my pipe and smoked it one day, and it wasn't too good.
It's pretty good stuff. I wonder if they're going to have that at the party over there. Why don't we go over there and see what's doing in Studio 3, huh?
All right, yeah.
Or shall we have music first?
Well, why don't we have Ken and Bill earn their money for the day?
While you still can play, Ken and Bill, why don't you do a song, huh? Well, tell us what it is.
Ain't you sweet? Listen to that all afternoon.
But now, if you're ready, we've got the engineer down in Studio 3, so we can pick up some of the party. What microphone you can turn on first? I need the one over the corner in the box. Yeah?
You're the boss, Steve?
No.
Well, which guy's the boss?
Over there. The big guy.
This time he lines the eight so smart.
Oh, no, don't tell him anything, Alan.
Huh?
Don't tell him anything.
I don't want to move to tell him that
he's
been overlooking me talents all year.
Yeah, okay, well, go ahead.
And I figured I'd tell him this if I hadn't been to a party.
Well, okay, you go ahead.
Which one is he?
That fellow right over there.
That funny-looking guy?
Yeah. Well, good luck to you.
Why is it that boss is always funny-looking?
Well, there, John.
Hello, sir.
Hi.
Are you the bossy?
Yeah.
Ooh, the icy feeling goes up and down my spine.
It's a
pleasure to meet you, sir. I was just admiring you from afar.
You having a good time at the party?
Wonderful.
You better have.
Yes, sir. I will. I'll have a good time, I promise, sir.
Okay. Any problems you want to talk over?
Not a one. I was just remarking to my friend here, who just slipped down in back of the microphone, that we're very fortunate being here, actually.
Oh, that's fine.
Yes, sir.
Okay, have a good time.
You bet. I will, sir. I promise I will.
Drop in anytime.
What's that?
Drop in anytime.
Yes, sir.
Oh, did you tell him?
Yeah, I'd call him, boy.
Okay.
Funny, you know how you straighten right off?
Well, let's cut out that mic, huh? Say, I don't think there's any sense of continuing that.
No singing going on.
Oh, it hasn't got rolling.
I understand that Miss McGoon is going to sing for the entire group this afternoon, she and Arthur.
Oh, that's all? What are they going to do?
They're going to sing that hit song that they've turned out from Call Me Madam.
Oh, yeah?
Just in Love.
Oh, yeah. Will we be able to hear them with all that noise going on?
Well, I don't know. Why don't we try?
All right. Well, let's see if they're ready to. Maybe they're going to sing. Well, now a few folks will quiet down. We're going to sing this thing, aren't we?
Who's going to sing it?
I hear singing and there's no one there.
You hear that, Bob, sing it.
I smell blossoms and the trees are there. All day long I see the water on the used to twinkle in twinkling in my eyes. I wonder why.
You don't need analyzing. It is not so surprising. You see there is dream but night. Your heart goes pitter patter. I know just what's the matter, because I've been there once or twice. Head on my shoulder, someone told me, velvet love. There is nothing you can take to relieve that silly ache. Not sick, you're just in love.
I'm here singing and
it's not so surprising. You feel very strange but nice. Your heart goes pitter patter. I know just what the matter.
Your head on my shoulder,
someone's shoulder,
and
once
more I
there's nothing you can take to believe that it's not just in love.
Your head on my shoulder,
someone is older, rubbed down with a velvet glove. There's nothing
you should think of
Life and Loves of Linda Lovelay, written for radio by A. Carrington Love, starring Marcia Van Allshot as Linda, Sherman L. Sturdley as David. Uncle Eugene is portrayed by Horace K. Winterhalter. Today, it's 2 days before Christmas in River's Mouth, as we see Linda and David seated before a crackling fireplace in the small house halfway up the next block over the bowling alley. It's so quiet you can hear a pin drop.
Oh, no, cut it off.
Linda looks at David and says,
David, all the gifts are packed and wrapped now. I think I'll just sit down here by the... Oops, too close to the...
Yes, it's been a wonderful Christmas season. I'm glad it's just about over.
It hasn't started yet, really, David.
Oh. Where's Uncle Eugene this afternoon, my dear?
Oh, that precious thing.
Haven't seen him for several hours.
He was taking an inventory of his peanut butter sandwiches.
Well, hello, folks.
Hello, Uncle Eugene.
All the preparations for Christmas, all that sort of stuff.
Where were you down cellar?
Huh?
I say, where were you?
I was over in the wine cellar.
David, did you give
him... Where I'm keeping my peanut butter sandwiches, next to the amontillado. I think that's one of them.
Well, you keep out of there, please.
Yes, Uncle Eugene. Remember, Christmas is still 2 days off.
Yes.
Who's off, Dave?
You are, Uncle Eugene. You're a fright. You look
well, I've got a lot of things to do before Christmas Day rolls around.
Do you have all your gifts wrapped?
Yes, most of them.
What are you sending this year?
I am sending miniature suction shoes to everybody, all my friends.
Isn't that thoughtful?
You can wear them on your lapel, or you can wear them as...
Little charms
around your wristwatch.
Isn't that clever?
That's a good idea, Uncle Eugene.
Oh. Yes, it is.
Oh, Uncle Eugene, you're a pearl.
What are we having for dinner Christmas Day?
Turkey, of course.
Of course, Uncle Eugene. It's practically traditional here to have turkey
if
on Christmas Day.
If you'd prefer those peanut butter sandwiches, you may have.
Well, frankly, I would.
Yes.
I'll just bring my peanut butter sandwiches to the dinner table and open them up and eat them there.
You don't
can
you have
them
dated as you made them? I
yes,
noticed it was from April 1948 peanut
that's
butter.
That's right. I look for the date stamped on every sandwich.
Yes.
Then you know it's fresh peanut butter sandwich.
Oh, you're so darling.
Yes, and they'll be putting them in the new vacuum tin pretty soon, Uncle Eugene.
Think of it.
Boy, I'll be real lucky then, huh?
Yes, you will.
Well, I've got the facts accounting, so long.
How many do you have, Uncle Eugene?
433.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, I've got them piled right up to the rafters.
Good boy.
Well, go ahead, Uncle Eugene, and more power to you.
Okay, bye.
He has a little electric motor down there, David. I've heard it purring all day.
I've been thinking a lot about Uncle Eugene lately. I think he's a little soft.
David, that's not kind.
Well, I hated to say it, but it was written here.
But, David, this Christmas, let's find out whose uncle he is.
I think that's a good idea. He's not mine, I know.
He certainly isn't mine. We have no history of peanut butter collectors in my family. None whatsoever.
I think I'll go up into the attic and get out our family history and...
Oh, let's not. Let's have a pleasant Christmas.
Well, so it begins to come to light that Uncle Eugene is not David and Linda's uncle. And how will it affect their Christmas in River's Mouth? Tomorrow we'll hear Linda say...
Too late, Mom.
Be sure and listen tomorrow for The Life and Loves of Linda Lovely, written for radio by A. Carrington Lump.
Well, that is very exciting. I bet they'll have a very happy Christmas over at Lovely's. I mean, they are soft as grapes, granted. But
they have fun.
They can celebrate. Sure. They know how to celebrate and have a good time.
That's right.
Ken, I know you'll have a grand time. Oh, well, that's Morris besides. Incidentally, the boys down at Payne sent us up that great big paper airplane.
Biggest
there.
Paper airplane we've ever received.
I don't know.
It'd be fun to do that, though. I imagine.
I should like to get up on top of the John Hancock building and let that go.
Oh, it'd be a real Christmas celebration.
Must have a wingspread there of about 2 feet, wouldn't you say? 3 feet?
I would say so.
You know the kind of airplane we're talking about, the folded over type you used to make in school and always get caught throwing. Teachers always had unique ways of selecting the guilty person.
I know.
I guess it was the look in your
eyes. We haven't been to school for a long time, and inasmuch as the kids are all out on vacation this week, I guess they're out as of today anyway.
Well, they probably have half day.
We should go to that last assembly before they head for vacation, Christmas vacation. They always have a very interesting guest speaker. The band is playing now for the students to march into the auditorium, I believe.
All right, boys and girls, line up, please.
That's Miss Feeney over there.
Line up, boys and girls. Now stop your talking.
There's the principal coming up on the stage.
One, two, one, two, one.
Hey, Eddie.
Oh, stop your talking, Armin. One, two, three, six. Now take your roles. Take your seats. That's it. Be seated.
Hey, look at Fish Eye playing for Bob.
Yeah, boy,
you're funny. Hey, it's
Fish Eye. Don't make him laugh. He can't play it if he's laughing.
Look at Mr. Grimley, the principal.
Boy, he's a mean guy, ain't he, Mr. Grimley?
I've no talk with him.
All right, quiet down.
All right.
Please, I'll introduce you, principal.
All right, Miss Feeney, but make it brief, will you?
Boys and girls, it's today we leave school for the Christmas week. We won't be back.
I want you to hurry up, Eddie.
We won't be back now for another few days.
Oh,
and before we go, all the staff and the principal would like you to know how we feel this Christmas season. Boys and girls, here is Principal Gridley.
All right, boys and girls, I won't take too much of your time. I know you're anxious to get out on your vacation. But we have a very... Who said that? Is that you, Green? Report to my office after the
assembly. I didn't see anybody in this class.
All right, Miss Feeney.
There was a tall man going by outside.
Never mind, Miss Feeney. Now, I want to introduce our guest speaker today, and whom I'm sure you'll be very interested in. He's a job council advisor. And he's here from Pasadena, California, to talk to you people.
All you boys and girls are in the fourth
class. Just a minute. I'll introduce you. Here he is, Jasper McGeorge.
Thank you very much, Principal Gridley, and good afternoon, boys and girls. I know that you want to get back to your rooms for your party, so I'll keep you here just about an hour.
You boys in the fourth grade, you girls too, it isn't a bit too early to start thinking of your career when you graduate from high school.
Ah, what's he talking about?
Oh, pick it dry up, boy.
I have been brought here to discuss your careers with you.
Quiet, boy. Let Mr. McGeorge talk on.
And, I think so many of you boys are passing up the great opportunity in not following up cowboy singing as a career.
What do you say, Eddie?
It's a cowboy singing.
Cowboy.
And I have brought along with me a friend from the radio. You've heard him a good many times. I'd like to present him. He'll talk just briefly on being a cowboy singer. Tex?
Howdy, boys and girls. I know not many of you are thinking about being cowboy singers here in the fourth grade.
I ain't no cowboy.
But pay a little bit of attention to your work and get out there and fight the game of life hard. That's all. Bye.
Well, boys, that's just about the assembly for today.
Oh, boy, let's
we have
get
a few
out.
Slides that Mr. Gridley took of South America that I know you want to see before we go back to our rooms for the party. Mr. Gridley, shall I lower the lights now?
Yes, Miss Feeney.
I've got
my little cricket chirper here, which will tell you when to change the slides.
Well, I'm afraid before
this first one, that's Niagara Falls
please.
Upside down. I guess
think that Wayne is ready to lead the band in the final selection.
Oh, we're all through, eh?
Yes, Mr. Gridley,
all
I'm
right.
sorry.
Thanks, Miss Feeney.
All right, Wayne. All right, boys and girls, come on, let's stand up and march out.
Step up there. Keep moving.
So they march out of Assembly
the
Hall.
Bob and Ray Primary School.
Hi, Al. Merry Christmas. Hi, Bob.
Last chance. That's
one. Of course, we'll be here tomorrow. We're not saying goodbye and Merry Christmas and just taking off until Tuesday, you know.
Oh, no, no. We'll be back tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, isn't it?
We'd like to say hello to you all again at that time.
And, of course, tomorrow morning, if everything goes right, we'll be here at 6:35.
Well, now, that's just about it, then. Oh, we got 45 seconds.
I know. We have a baseball promotional at 2 o'clock. The ball game this afternoon out of Fenway Park. And,
No.
That's last summer's schedule I'm looking at here.
So we'll see you all again tomorrow, and that'll be plenty of time to wish you Merry Christmas, although we certainly hope you do right now. And that'll be at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
1 o'clock tomorrow, yeah.
And tomorrow morning from 6:35 to 9. I'd like to have you join us for any portion of that program.
We've had a grand time today, incidentally. Wonderful time.
Yes, the portions of today's program was recorded.
What portions was recorded?
The background for the party.
Oh.
Ken and Bill, Ken Wilson and Bill Green are the musicians.
All right, you fellas. Down to my office, will you?
Yes, sir, I'm coming, sir.
I heard your program.
All right, sir, we're coming, sir. Right now, if you get work, everyone, hang by your thumbs. I'm sure you'll agree it's milder, much milder.
All right, come on.